You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, wait a minute. That's been outlawed in some country. You know, I saw a headline today, and they said that they're going to outlaw the use in theaters of the term ladies and gentlemen because of this gender-specific thing. So it must be, maybe it would be something like ladies, queers, gentlemen, transvestites, and freakazoids. Welcome to the Saxon's Creed Radio Show. And I'm sure I left out a couple there. Yeah, you know, pedophiles, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, the world has gone insane, and you're witnessing it. You're seeing it as it has gone way over the threshold. I can tell you in the equation that the Father gave me, which is corruption leads to chaos, and chaos leads to judgment. We are soon to be in the judgment phase at any moment, and maybe already are in some cases. It's amazing to me how ridiculous this nonsense really is. And we should just not put up with it. Just, it's that simple. We won't put up with it. You know, the whole audience should scream out, ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, lady, you know what I mean, in the theater. And, you know, basically it's just, we're not going to put up with it. It's the girls in these schools where they have gender, non-gender bathrooms. They're not drinking anything at school and so that they don't have to go to the bathroom. They don't want to use the bathrooms. Do you blame them? Now, how long before women start standing up for what's right? Now, there are some women standing up for what's right, but how long until women say, hey, listen, you know, as they grow up, this is a good training for these children because they can say, listen, I couldn't even go to the bathroom in high school because of this nonsense. We're going to stop this right here and right now. You know, what I don't think the people realize all around the world is the Jews call us their cattle. And they can move the herd and sway the herd through their emotions and through their ideologies and all these different things. And what you've witnessed and what you are witnessing around the world is this great division that the Jews have put between the peoples of all countries. See, democracy instantly divides people into the left and into the right, and maybe some stay quite to the center. But the problem is the people don't know they've been divided. They don't understand, well, why do I believe these leftist ideologies? You see, what happens is these people that have been brainwashed by these ideologies are brought off to the left to fight against the right. The right are usually people that want to keep, you know, like two genders. You know what I mean? Maybe they want to keep, we want to keep, you know, God in our country. Maybe we want to keep, you know, you get the idea. So you're definitely reflected to the right. What it is with Jews is they want to categorize everybody and put you into a category. It's the same way as a musician. They'll say, well, what kind of music do you play? Or people will ask me, well, what denomination do you belong to? What denomination have you been divided and categorized into? None, dear fellows. None. No, I'm not a Catholic either. Speaking about gender, I mean, you know, we probably do have male nuns now. We have male nurses, don't we? So, basically, if you let them, they'll shove you into whatever category they want. And in those categories, they've already got predetermined outcomes for those categories, you know. So if you want to keep your country the same, or you believe in the Bible, or you don't like what the Jews are doing, or you're not favorable of having niggers in your neighborhood, then you're obviously a racist and you're obviously evil. And but the people on the left that are actually evil are the ones that are called good. You see, because we're in a time. Remember Michael Jackson, the one who the Negro who did everything he could to become white until his nose fell off his face. You know, this is the true heart of all the non-whites of the world. They all want to be white, ladies and gentlemen. Now, yes, there's a few that don't want to be white. Yes, but the majority want to be white. They wish they were white. They're jealous that they're not white. This is a fact. Say what you will. Michael Jackson is proof of this. And the Jews are proof of it, too. I saw the movie Death Wish with Charles Bronson, who's a Jew. And in the first movie, Jeff Goldblum was in this. Now, he's a Jew. If you see him, he's certainly not even a white Jew. He's a Negro Jew. But I remember seeing him later in, he's got a yellowish hue to him, which is Mongolian. But he's also looks like he's half Negroid. So it's just a weird thing. You know, these movies, Death Wish movies, almost everybody in them are Jews and the rest are Negroes and there's very few whites. What the world has done, in my estimation, what the Jew has done, is they want to show you and make you think that all these people that you're seeing in these movies are white, especially Jews. And these Jews have weird skull shapes and all kinds of crazy things that are definitely not white attributes, not Anglo-Saxon skulls, etc., etc. And they want you to think that, well, the white race is so diverse that, you know, a white guy can look millions of different ways. You know, maybe he could have ears that are as low as his neck, you know, down on his neck. And then he could have a nose that's, you know, sticking way out or way in or, you know, this or that. Or maybe he has Chinese eyes or he might have a forehead that's 6 miles long or, you know, a mouth that looks like frog that's about, you know, 8 inches wide, like Don Rickles. You know, they want you to think like Don. If you take a good picture of Don Rickles, take a good look at him. They want you to think, oh, that's just another white man. White men come in many, many different forms and fashions, but this is not so. And mostly Hollywood and television, you think you're watching white people, but you're not. I'm not saying there's no whites on there, but they are the token. Like, you used to have the token black in a show. Well, now you just got the token white. And the white would usually be somebody like a woman hooker or a drunk doctor or whatever it might be. It would be the white in a derogatory capacity. You know, I want to talk about the Death Wish movie. And while our brother was here, we watched Death Wish 1 and Death Wish 2. And I had known that at the end of this film, there was a picture of a building. And it had two Spanish people on it, a man and a woman. And then on the right side, it said monarch. And then under it, it had a cross with what looked like on a lump of a grave. And it had windows all over the building that looked like they have bars on them. And I probably should just write an article about this. But I'm going to just tell you what the picture means. We both discussed it. I came up with a lot of good ideas. He came up with some ideas too, a lot of good ideas. And what he mentioned about this Death Wish movie, I'll just give you a brief synopsis. You see, this man was living you know, with his wife and his daughter, and he was a normal man working. But he became, this is what the brother brought up, that, you know, because it's trauma-based mind control. We were talking about the Monarch mind control, you know, MK Ultra. So what happens to Paul Kersey is his wife and daughter, his wife is killed and his daughter is raped. And also, there are criminals aggravating him out in the streets. And he's seeing this going on all over the place. And when this happens, it traumatizes him. And it brings out a dual identity. And this is what I realized, because everything in this world, it has to do with dualism. Hybridism. Batman is half bat, half man. Not in reality, but like Spider-Man, that's the way it is, right? He was bit by a spider. Spider-Man, it's an hybrid. Superman, his dad was a god and his mother was a regular woman, white woman. Spock, his dad was a Romulan and his mother was a white woman. He was an hybrid. It's all hybrids in this world. It's all about hybrids. This transgenderism where you're a man acting like a woman or vice versa is a dual identity. It's the same thing as what's going on all over the world. Because Lucifer is androgynous. And so the world is becoming more androgynous as time goes on. It's being shoved down your throat. Even democracy, now that I think about it, is dualism. Sure, you can bring a third party in. The only reason the third party's brought in is to take votes away from somebody they don't want to be elected in case somebody gets in there. You know, might get in there that they don't really want. As it was when back in Woodrow Wilson's time, Taft would have not signed those things and let those things happen in 1913. You know, the Federal Reserve Act, the taxes, and the ADL. So they had to make sure they brought they brought him in on the third party to try to take votes away from Taft, and it worked. But democracy is an hybrid government. It's a dualistic hybrid government, and it's two, you know, this donkey and this, or whatever it is, and the elephant are both in the Book of Enoch, and they are hybrids. And most of the people in our government, you can see, are very almost hybrids, right? They look like hybrids. Nancy Pelosi's, one of her sons is a transvestite. And Nancy Pelosi has Jewish blood running through her veins. She's married to a Jew. You know, it's just this dualism thing, right? So that's what it's all about. It's about hybrids, about androgyny, it's about dualism, and this Death Wish movie is no different than that. He's a normal fellow. So at the end of Death Wish 1, the New York Police Department tells him to leave and go far away, go to another office of the company he works for, and start a new life and cut it out, and they're not going to prosecute him. Which means the government was all for what he was doing in his vigilantism, because it brought crime down 50%. But I will say one thing that I didn't discuss with my brother about this, is the people that are in these movies, I want you to realize something very interesting. If you've seen these movies, what is taking place in these Death Wish movies, which started in 74, then it was 82 was the second movie, I believe. This is exactly what's taking place in our world now. This is how the world looks now. It looks like Death Wish. There are rapes going on, senseless crimes, you know, just multi-culti, you know. It wasn't like this in America, the way you're seeing it. This is the Jewish mind. These are the scribes of the Kehillah that write these scripts, that write these things. In this also, you have to realize that Paul Kersey was not into guns. He was in the services of the country, but he was a conscientious objector. He didn't believe in guns. His father was a hunter. His dad was a hunter. And his mother was against guns, I guess. So he wasn't into guns. So it's not like, you know, what's funny is he went out to do a job for somebody and they gave him a gun and he shot guns. And, you know, it's just interesting that the programming. But what I'm saying is it's not the monarch mind control programming just that we're seeing in Paul Kersey, but we're seeing the mind control programming that has programmed the people that have watched these things and now act this way. The people in Sweden and these blacks and everything, they see these movies and they want to emulate it. They go out and rape a woman. They go out and do all this crime. They want to be gangsters because they see the Jewish gangster movies from the old days and they want to emulate that. Because this is MK Ultra mind control programming. It's monarch programming. But I'm going to blow your mind because, you know, I'll do an article if I can on this. I got so many things I'm doing, but this is on my agenda because I just watched this movie again. Is that between the first movie and the second movie, Paul Kersey moved to Los Angeles, which is another Jew hole. He came from New York, which is Jew York, and he went to Los Fallen Angel Angeles. Los Fallen Angeles. Or Lost Fallen Angeles. Lost Fallen Angels. And it's another Jew hole. And what happens to him there? Well, his daughter gets raped and she runs away from the rapists and goes through a plate glass window and lands on a metal gate that went right through and killed her. What had happened was the second identity of Paul Kersey went into, he became dormant, the second personage that was programmed into him. You see, in this mind control programming, and I'm not a real expert, but I know about it a bit, and I've read about it a bit, and I understand what it is. Just like on 9/11 when they kept showing the planes going through the building, which I don't even believe ever happened, it was the traumatization. And during the traumatization, they programmed into the people of the world that it was these 18 hijackers from Saudi Arabia, when it was really not at all. This was a Mossad and American operation. CIA probably a Mossad operation. This was all for the Jews. So they programmed, in other words, once you traumatize the child or the person or the man or the woman or the people or whatever it is, they become now programmable because they're in a traumatized state. And so at that point, the newsmen, so-called, you know, these fake news outlets, began to program the idea of what had happened into Americans. They already had this prepared, if you remember, because if you remember this time, they had this thing ready to go right away. I mean, it didn't take them even 5 minutes to find out it was 18, you know, I don't know if it was 5 minutes, but you know what I mean. They had it ready to go, let's just say, right? And so that's the programming of it. So this is the way it is. So Paul Kersey had gone dormant after this. And when the thing happened to him again, which is very highly unlikely that the same thing could have happened somewhere else, but that's how the Jews keep the movie going, right? And this is all Jewish mind programming. During this movie, there's a lot of places in the city where there's Christians, you know, these homeless things where they're preaching and screaming about the word of God inside there. I'm not sure all of what it's all about, but it's very interesting. And I'm studying this movie and learning a lot about it, even though I've seen it several times. This time the eyes were even more open. And so this other altar was reignited through this traumatization. He was traumatized again, and it brought forth this second dualistic man who lived two lives. He was able to keep these two lives together where he could work, have a woman, and be normal, so to speak, and yet his social life had to suffer a little bit for it. But he was keeping that going well. At the same time, he had rented himself an apartment downtown, a swill hole apartment down the city, so that he could go out and catch all these people and do the vigilante work. Believe me, I'm pro-vigilante, but this is something else. This is interesting what's going on here. His dualistic thing. He was cut up by these people. So not only was he traumatized, but he was cut several times by criminals. And to do vigilante work, you'd have to be very proficient. And he did some things that showed that he wasn't total pro, but he did a good job at what he did. But he getting cut and things like that wasn't always necessary. He did stupid things. But so in other words, this thing can go dormant and can go back. So there wasn't anything like a phone call that had triggered him into this. It was just the traumatization or re-traumatization, the reminding of what brought the second identity out before. You see how this all relates? Now, the androgyny thing is not here, but you understand that the dualistic thing is here. Just like what you're seeing going on in the world, the left, the people that have the ideologies of the Jews are fighting against the government, the police, and the right. You see? Notice how the right aren't really generally fighting against the police. They're just trying to keep things stable and keep things the way they're supposed to be, the way they used to be, the way they should be. But I'm not right or left. I'm on the narrow road that leads to eternal life. But you know what I mean. I'm just trying to tell you that democracy is dualism. The Kabbalah, this is all to do with the Kabbalah. This dualistic living two different lives in the same body, or more than two in several cases. So you see that it's trauma-based mind control here. But what, now, you know, Paul Kersey, he became obsessed, this other character, he became obsessed with cleaning up the streets. And in the second movie, he found the people that had actually hit him on the head. In the second one, they raped his house cleaning lady and the one who cared, you know, took care of his house for him. And then the daughter, snatched his daughter. Then they raped her and then she died, you know, as I told you. So he had seen these criminals and they bashed him on the head with a tire iron. and or crowbar, excuse me. And so he got all of them. But it's very interesting, you know, how they show that he lies. He's a liar. And you can see the ends justify the means. Let me tell you something. If you were to take a notebook, which is what I'm going to do with this movie, and I've done with The Wizard of Oz, as you well know, I will write this article. Just give me time. I've got a bunch of things to do. Lots and lots of things. And, of course, I work for free, right? So, basically, this is what happens. This is what the kind of stuff that goes on. If you took a notebook and you said, I'm not going to watch this movie to be entertained, or whatever movie you're going to watch, I want to see, what are they trying to teach me here? What are the Jewish scribes trying to teach me? Remember I did that with Blazing Saddles? I've done this with several movies already on shows. 2001 A Space Odyssey, 2010, the second movie after it. You see, it's anti-white. Blazing Saddles was anti-white to the hilt. And I exposed that. And it's funny how Whitey doesn't mind or doesn't even see that it's anti-white. They just carry on and laugh. It's all just for entertainment. But you see, it's programming something in your mind that all white people are evil and you can't trust any white people. See, because the Jew does not want us to be able to get together against him. So he has to make it so that we believe that we can't trust each other. And it's obvious that some people in our race, you can't trust them. They're divided over there and they're mentally ill. I mean, they're borderline mentally ill. I've seen women screaming and nodding back and forth like a rabbi at the wall. That's what mental patients do, ladies and gentlemen. They sit in a chair and they rock back and forth like a rabbi at the wall. Or a rabbi who claims he's praying. Or a Jew who's praying. So, back to the picture at the end. Here's how it all turns out. You see a shadow of Paul Kersey, or that's who you assume it is. And this shadow, this is a tall building. The building looks like it's bluish, light blue. And there's the painting of the man and the woman on there. And they're not white. Remember that the devil, the spiritual king of this world, so to speak, he wants to get rid of all the races and make them into the brown races. So you see this shadow that is tall. I don't know how you could even do this. It's as tall as the building practically. And it stands between the man and the woman and the woman. And it's facing the man and the woman. They're facing us, right? And he's right in the middle and it gives you the one-eyed symbolism. Because his head is in between their two heads, and you see the one eye only of the woman and the one eye only of the man. You understand what that means, right? And to the right it says monarch. When I was there with the brother, I said, I realize something now. You see, I just thought of the monarch as the monarch butterfly. The monarch mind control programming. But then I realized that the monarch is the king of this world, so to speak. The spiritual king of the world, I told you. And the shadow is that king. You get it? Remember Zeppelin had this thing where these lyrics where it said, our shadow is taller than our souls? Well, you see, he lived on 33. I don't remember the street name right now. I'll get it later. But I do remember the number, of course. Paul Kersey, when he was in New York, lived on number 33, such and such street, okay? You get it? When you're in the 33rd degree, 3 times 3 is 9, the devil's number. The shadow knows he's a shadow. So he lived at 33. When you are in the 33 degree of Freemasonry, you become linked with the spiritual king of the world, the spiritual monarch. Monarch mind control is spiritual. It's deviltry. I believe it's programming demons into people on different altars. That's what these different windows represented in the building were, the different altars of the mind, and they were locked into those cages, except one window was open up on the right side. But you have to realize what that's really saying. You see, the building represented the building block, the building of the monarch mind control slave. Each one of those windows inside lives the altar that's been programmed into people. You dig? The monarch is not really the butterfly, but it's the spiritual king of the world, the monarch. Get it? The monarchy? He's the king of this world, so to speak. He's the spiritual king, the devil. And yet he's Lucifer, but this shadow that represented Paul Kersey and, I believe, the devil. This shadow is big. And so this is the kind of thing, you know, the brother said that he thought the cross that was under the monarch, that looked like a lump, looked like it was a lump of the buried person with the cross put on top of it, you know, no name or anything. He said, well, that represents that he's the angel of death, which I agree. But I also said to him, wouldn't you think that that's the representation also of this monarch over, I don't know if I should say Christianity, but it is to most points, because most of the Christianity of the world, the devil is the god of those religions. The devil's the god of all religions at this point. Being with the Father is not a religion. Having a relationship with the Father is not a religion or a denomination. It's a choice. Being on the narrow path doesn't mean that you have all kinds of denominations. It means that everything's been divided and weakened. If you divide Christianity into 33,000 denominations, I think that's what it is too. Last time I heard it was 33,000. How funny is that? So if it was, you know, divided up into 33,000 denominations all over the world, that weakened Christianity significantly, didn't it? Because we're not all together. We're not all of the same mind. We don't all believe the same thing, so we can't get together and be a powerhouse against the devil. That's what democracy does. That's what dualism does. If you're living two lives, you're a double-minded man. And a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Does this make sense or what? So the devil divided Christianity and all those things, and this monarch is the ruler over most of what's called Christianity. Certainly of Catholicism, which is not real Christianity, or Judeo-Christianity, which is the Jewish version of Christianity, or, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses, which is Masonic Christianity, and the Masons, which is the devil's Christianity. I mean, you understand that the devil is the light that they're looking for. The devil is this Jewish Jesus. There's no Jewish Jesus as far as in Christianity. That's a different Jesus. There's no such thing as the Jewish Jesus except in the minds of the people that ascribe to Catholicism, or, you know, this Jewish version of Christianity, or any of that. Maybe even the Muslims believe Jesus was a Jew. I don't know. I know they believe he was a good man, but he wasn't God in the flesh. So obviously, the Muslims have to be Antichrist, right? And we know that their God is the same God as Catholicism, or the same God of all these religions is Lucifer, the spiritual king of the world. Yeah, that's food for thought, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I call it. Food for thought. So what it tells me is that these different programmed altars in these people can go dormant and another one can take the main channels, let's say. You know, what they call channeling demons through people, that's kind of what it is. You just change the channel, you change the altar in the person. So Paul Kersey was on one channel of his normal life, and then they changed the channel, or the trauma changed the channel to Paul Kersey. And he would go back and forth between the altars as needed. And this is happening all around you. See, what it's telling me is that monarch mind control programming, they deliberately give you the symbol of the butterfly to keep you away from thinking about it meaning king mind control programming. And it's a spiritual thing. It's a demonic thing, a demonic channeling, a demonic programming. You understand what I'm saying? So that was the deception. That's what I learned from the picture. You know, when I had watched this movie back in Boston several years ago, I had already picked up on the idea. I saw that this picture comes at the very, very last part of this movie. And I took a picture of it then with my phone camera. I didn't have the little Snagit thing that I have now. But I knew it meant Monarch MK Ultra Mind Control programming. But this time, ladies and gentlemen, I understood what the shadow meant. I understood what the windows meant. I understood what the one-eyed symbolism meant. And I had never seen that until this time. And then I understood what monarch mind control programming really was and is. It's nothing to do with a butterfly. That was to throw you off. It's the spiritual king of the world. The devil. It's darkness. Even though the work of the vigilante is a good thing and would prevent a lot of crime and a lot of suffering, you've got to be a killer and you've got to go out and execute justice. Whether that's evil or not, I really don't know. I think what's more evil is in New York, he had brought the crime down 50%. The muggers were afraid to go out on the street. And people were emboldened by it. They were encouraged by what he was doing. And they kind of stood up to the criminals and weren't afraid of the criminals anymore. So really, is that a work of evil? I don't think so. But what happened was, and I talked about job security, with police work, you must realize that if they were to go out and do their jobs and do them like they really should be doing them, the need for police work would decrease. So they promote and allow criminality as a measure of job security. And if you say that that's not true, you're a liar. Yeah, but Dave, I knew an officer. Yeah, I know. I know you did. Yeah. But I'm not trying to say that police are just bad, but, you know, they're a lot worse than they have ever been. I don't know. You see, back in America, in the early days of America, in the 19th century, you'd have a cop walking a beat. One guy. Now you've got machine gun SWAT teams. You've got cop cars every block of the city. You've got cops all over the place. You've got detectives. You've got, you know, you understand, helicopters. You've got all, you understand? This is what the Jew has brought to our country. This is what this mind control programming through Hollywood has programmed people into thinking it's exciting to go out and rape a woman and bash somebody over the head and steal something and all these things that they're doing, you know, harass the general public. This, you see, these niggers are on welfare and they've got nothing better to do. And an idle hand is the devil's workshop. You see, if they were out working and by the end of the day, they were tired from working, they wouldn't have time to harass the public, would they? They'd just want to have a nice meal and relax and get ready for the next day's work, right? But you see, this is all convenient, and this is the way it is. By putting this welfare state with blacks and so on and so forth, what they've done was, this is a tool to create the deep state, to create the underground criminality, to create the police state to be more and more and more and more needed. They're sending niggers from Somalia up to Minnesota. What do you think is going to happen up there? They're going to increase the police state, which means they get to watch the freedoms of the people in that area of the country and now are going to be severely diminished because now they've got to watch all these niggers and all this stuff, which they don't even prosecute anyway, right? Some guy just bashed. Some guy was walking, white guy's walking home from work. He's not bothering anybody. And some nigger comes out with a baseball bat and crushes his skull in. I think he was put in 72 days or 72 hours. I think it was hours, though. So basically, this is teaching this nigger that he can go out and just bash people's heads in. I mean, what's 72 hours in jail? Right? You see, somebody's doing all this. We know who it is. Who else would it be? But what's funny is these same Negroes are out there smashing in the Jews' heads. And then they start complaining about that. We got a problem now. We didn't have a problem when Whitey's head was smashed in, but we got a problem now. See, you can't have it all these different ways. The Jews want to pretend they're white. And when the people believe they're white, they get their head smashed in. They want people to hate Whitey, but they're pretending they're white, so it's kind of like a double-edged sword, isn't it? You see, they're really not as intelligent as you think they are. But they do know how to sway the herd. And they have the capacity to sway the herd. And we see that the division all over the world is that way because they've created this division, these ideologies, this climate change nonsense. Yesterday it was 70-something degrees. Today it's supposed to snow. So climate changed again, but it's getting colder now. So, I mean, we got climate change happens all the time. In the morning, we had our coats on yesterday. In mid-morning, we were down to t-shirts. The climate changed. This is nonsense. But you see, these are things they use as weapons. They give people purposes that they don't need. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, you must understand one thing. The Jew is laughing behind your back, lefty, righty, any of you. As long as you're being manipulated and the herd is being swayed in any direction they wish it to go in, you are a joke. If you're standing for climate change, they're laughing at you. If you're standing against the police, they're laughing at you. You're calling the police racists, they're laughing at you. because you're doing the will of these Jews. You are the herd, and they are the drovers, the ones that drive the cattle. You think on that for a while. Let's take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll get into the Watchtower and the Masons. This is a song from called Other Days from the Change album, my album The Change.
Another day goes by, and he just sits and wonders. The sorrow in his eyes, you know it's just the pain from other days. Other days. Oh, those other days. To keep the dream alive, but time is ever passing. It's hard to recognize, you know it's just the chance for other days. Other days. Ooh, those other days. Landslide. Rest assured it's coming star. Like a maze. Springtime, it always leads to summer. Winter returns again. Circles, they just leave you guessing. Tangents take you away. Growing, it's just never.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Saxon's Creed radio show. Coming to you from davidjamesboston.com. A source for truth. A source for all my shows so that you can educate yourself. A source for my music, which is very secondary or anything. A source for good articles where you can educate yourself. You know, I read, I don't mean to toot my own horn or anything, but I'm going to tell you that I read my article called Pigs. And I was very impressed by it because it really spells it out. When you read the article Pigs, there's two kinds of pigs. There's the pigs like the pigs in our government who are the sellouts from our race. And then there's the pigs with three parentheses who are the Jews. So when you read this article, you'll just know that that's the coding in it, that the pigs with the three parentheses are the Jews and the other pigs are the traitors of our race, the Freemasons that of our race that have been caught into Jewry's tanglements, entanglements. Pardon me while I say, take a sip of coffee. You know, if you like the work I'm doing and you want to be part of what I'm doing and you want to help me so that I can continue to do what I do, I hope that you'll consider giving me a donation. You can do that at davidjamesboston.com. Up in the menu, you'll see donations. If you don't donate through PayPal or something, you can contact me. But I hope you will do that because I am not receiving very much at this point. No, I don't know why. I'm doing more work than I've ever done. I mean, you know, there are times when I'm doing more shows per week, but of course, you know that right now I'm busy doing many projects, and now I've just taken on another two big projects, and that's the Revelation series of Bertrand Comparé and 41 new tapes of Dr. Wesley Swift. So please consider that I'm doing lots of work. And if you think that your time deserves to be paid for every minute of what you do, well, I don't get that luxury. It's actually quite the opposite. So if you can see it in your heart, realize that if this was to go away, you might be missing quite a few things. Or if you just don't care about it, I know a lot of our brethren do not care about Dr. Wesley Swift or the Pastor Comparé, his work. I could tell because they didn't support me. They didn't want to support me back when I asked them then, and this time two people supported me to go out there and get those tapes and return the others. I was even accused, as I said before, the last time when I had asked, not this time, they said, you're going to steal our tapes. You know, like, they're saying, well, these aren't my tapes. I'm not an Anglo-Saxon. You're trying to steal our tapes, like as if they were their tapes. They're not their tapes. They're not my tapes. How ridiculous the accusations. You know, the devil as an accuser accuses the most stupid things I've ever heard. You know, really ridiculous things said by some of our people. But, you know, it saddens me just how little of our people, even the remnant of our people, that care about the things of the kingdom. I just can't even conceive it. I don't understand it. One day when there's nobody left to speak the truth, they'll say, well, why didn't I help those people? Why did I let them make them go away? Why did I do that? But anyway, that's up to you. And let's continue. Let's go into the Watchtower and the Masons now. You know, I've noticed something about this particular series is there's not as many views on the Saxon's Creed show at this point. There were more before. But as you get into a series like this, I wonder how many people can really get through with it. You know what I mean? why am I reading this all to you? Why are we learning these things? What have we learned here? We've learned that the name Jehovah is important to the Masons, the devil, and the Jehovah Witnesses. And we learned that it's an hybrid name between Adonai and Yahweh's Tetragrammaton. So it's another hybrid, another dualistic thing. It's not Yahweh's name. Jehovah's not Yahweh's name, ladies and gentlemen, period. We've learned a lot of things in this series, and I hope that you're hanging in with me here. Remember, there's 180. We're on page 185 here, and so you'll know. And there's only 244 pages, and I assume that maybe 10 of those are going to be indexed at the end. I don't really know. So we're a few weeks away from finishing this up. But I read this book because I didn't have time to read it myself. And if I was going to read it, you don't have time either. So I figure we learn together. I hope you're learning because I've learned an awful lot about this. And I've just learned, see, Fritz has a book also called Be Wise as Serpents. And in that book, it talks more about the Watchtower Society and Charles Taze Russell. And it is proven that he is, he has Masonic, he is a Mason. He wasn't sure of that when he wrote this book, but it's been proven. He is a Mason, Charles Taze Russell. So that's why so much of this jargon had Masonic overtones. So we ended up with this particular thing, and we'll start off with it. That temple which must be built, this is speaking about building the temple again in Israel. May I just say before we go on with this, that the Jews who are the invisible in Freemasonry and run Freemasonry, this is one of the herds of Freemasonry that they maneuver and use for their purposes. Just like the blacks are a herd, and the mestizos, and the Muslims, these are all herds. Because they're the two-legged beasts of the field of the world, these are all the herds, including the most subtle beasts of the field. Even the Jews use some of their own people, or many of their own people, as a herd as well, to use against whitey, to use in the war against white men, the Adamic race, which was started in the garden, you see? So what has happened is this herd, known as the Masons, have been given the same dream that the Jews have of building this temple in Jerusalem. So it says, that temple which must be built, since the sanctuary in Jerusalem has perished, the secret edifice at which all Masons on earth labor with one mind, with a word, and these 10 leaders gave their help to the beast, right? And they all had one mind, didn't they? Could this be one of the 10 kings? Herds? Huh? Very interesting, right? From the book of Revelation? And these 10 kings gave power to the beast, and they all had one mind. Listen to what it says here. That temple which must be built, since the sanctuary in Jerusalem has perished, the secret edifice at which all Masons on earth labor with one mind, with a word of command and secret rallying points, it is the moral sanctuary, the divine asylum wherein all men who have been reconciled will be reunited one day in holy and fraternal agapes, love, brotherly love. It is the social order which shall no longer know fratricidal wars, nor castes, nor pariahs, and where the human race will recognize and proclaim anew its original oneness. What that was saying when it says nor castes, it meant the caste system is a system of, lower and higher peoples. If you're in the bottom of the caste, you're the lowlife. If you're in the top of the caste. So in other words, there'll be no more brotherly wars, nor, you know, levels of humanity. They'll all be equal. You get it? There's your equality. There's your brother, your brotherhood. And this will bring liberty, right? Because it will proclaim anew its original oneness. You get liberty, fraternity, and equality. You get it? That is the work on which every initiate pledges his devotion and undertakes to lay his stone, a sublime work which has been carried on for centuries. To lay his stone. You get it? Each one of these, I have a book, a Freemasonic book called The Builders. You get it? That's the pyramid has stones, you know what I mean? And you build it to the top and the apex at the top, which really is Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. But they would say that that's Lucifer, and that's where they put the eye of Lucifer. They call it the eye of Providence, you see? If indeed Freemasons felt as strongly about the need to rebuild the temple as this 1861 Jewish article indicates, then perhaps Masonry could have given impetus to Charles Taze Russell's strong belief that the Jews would return to Israel and restore their religion as part of God's plan. Remember what it says here now. This is something that Charles Taze Russell started. This was something that I don't know who gave him this idea, but I think I do, but the B'nai B'rith. But remember that he started this, and this was talked about last week. So you see, it says that they would return to Israel, but they're not from Israel. They're not part of Judea, except that they were like they are here in America. They call them Jewish Americans or something like that. There's no such thing. They're Jews, period. So they said they would restore their religion. Well, it's not a religion. They're using this as a pretense that they can have their own country. And they're trying to get the world to acquiesce against Yahweh in heaven, who judged Cain and told him that he would be a vagabond and wanderer. There's another word for it as well. I'm trying to think of the other word, but it's just basically that's what it is. They wouldn't have, that's why they're internationalists. They wouldn't have a country of their own. Therefore, they lived in all nations. But this would also give them an advantage because they would be able to be more powerful as a global institution. And so they just wanted to make a head of this institution where Lucifer would rule from. This is the cap of the pyramid, in a sense, this so-called Israel, which is not a country. It never will be a country, but they're playing like it is. They play like they have a government for this country. They say it's a democracy as well, which is a dualistic government, a hybrid government for hybrid people like the Jews, and you understand that what that really means. I just can't think of that word. There was the fugitive, that's the word. So they would be vagabonds and fugitives. I was just trying to think of it. Remember there was an old TV series called The Fugitive, get it? And remember the old Jewish song, I'm a wanderer, I'm a wanderer, I get around, round, 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 round. You get it? So that's what the Jews are supposed to be doing. But this idea of stealing this land and putting over this thing by calling it Israel is the biggest psyop there is, which would give legitimacy that they would be God's chosen people. They're pretending that it's their land they're returning to, but it's not their land. It never was and never will be. And it's a cursed land until Christ returns. And so this is how the deception was created. So Russell was part of this, obviously. I'm doing a lot of commenting. We're not getting a lot of getting a lot of ground here. So let's get in back into it here. Numerically speaking, most professing Christians are not premillennialists. The prodigious amount of premillennial publications tends to hide that fact. So whether Masonry encouraged Russell's Zionism at all, it can be stated that Russell's desire to see the temple rebuilt placed him on this issue closer to Masonry than most professing Christians would be. And yes, as I said, it's been proven he is a Mason. The Masonic reference, Morals and Dogma, page 321, 744 and 745, listen carefully, please, Nashab, stresses the importance the Kabbalah has been to Masonry. The Kabbalah has been one of the cornerstones of Hasidism. The Hasidic Jews are a mystical minority of Jews claiming hidden knowledge. The Kabbalah. Remember that what he's saying here is the Kabbalah has been one of the cornerstones of Hasidism. The Kabbalah, Masonry is based on the Kabbalah, according to Pike. Okay? So let's continue. Jacob de Haas, an Hasidic Jew who visited with Charles Taze Russell, found similarities between Russell and the teachings of Hasidism. What is the Kabbalah? Nashab, what is the Kabbalah is the question. Jewish theology was divided into three distinct parts. The first was the law. If you want to know what the Kabbalah is, listen. It was divided into three parts, distinct ones. The first was the law. The second was the soul of the law. And the third was the soul of the law. The law was taught to all the children of Israel. You mean to the Jews. The Mishnah, or soul of the law, was revealed to the rabbins and teachers. But the Kabbalah, the soul of the law, was cunningly concealed. And only the highest initiates among the Jews were instructed in its secret principles. That's from Masonic symbolical philosophy. Page 1013, I guess. The author has looked for traces of the Kabbalah in Russell's writings, and they are basically absent. Only a few things are similar. The use of the Kabbalah to interpret the soul of the law seems to have been supplanted by Russell with his own ideas and writings, which serve an identical role. Russell claimed his six books were practically speaking the Bible. There were both Jews and Freemasons who joined Russell's International Bible Students Ecclesiastes, but what impact that had on Russell or the movement is difficult to find. Even Russell's remarkable early Zionism has had little impact on the modern Jehovah's Witnesses. However, the Bible student groups have tended to remain faithful to Russell's Zionism. In conclusion, there are definitely some similarities in thought between some Jews, some Masons, and Russell. But beyond that, the author finds no connections. The best assumption is that Russell's Zionism was the result of his premillennial outlook and not the result of Masonic contacts. Chapter 12, Rutherford and Masonry. Joseph Franklin, that ought to tell you enough right there, Franklin. You know, Ben Franklin, though he did discover electricity and things like that, has a very hidden, a dualistic life, so to speak, and that he was involved in French Freemasonry and the sisters, the Nine Sisters of the Lodge and all kinds of different things, the Nine Sisters. Joseph Franklin Rutherford, the second president of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, decided in 1935 to call their newly constructed building in Honolulu, Hawaii, the Kingdom Hall, quote-unquote. this was the first time the term Kingdom Hall, quote unquote, had been used. Rutherford then requested that the Jehovah's Witnesses London Tabernacle be renamed Kingdom Hall, which is why in 1937. Why? The Society's publications give no answer, not a clue, except that Rutherford made the decision. Mysterious, distant, reserved, and cold, Rutherford is remembered best for his greed for power. With dictatorial powers came the ability to live in luxury at the Society's expense. His life of luxury during the Depression is hardly known to Jehovah's Witnesses today, but it included the use of several mansions, several 16-cylinder Packards, the best liquors money could buy, and all his desires for comfort. He rarely spent time with his invalid wife, who lived in California. Sounds like somebody I know. Yeah. In 1932, Rutherford wrote and published his booklet, Cause of Death, quote unquote. The cover of Cause of Death was a colored picture of a beautiful, naked, anatomically correct Eve without a trace of a fig leaf. Was this cover to turn men's mind to God or to sell books? Good point. In 1920, Rutherford revealed his interest in the occult by writing the tracts, Can the Living Talk with the Dead, quote unquote, and Talking with the Dead, quote unquote. Let me just stop right there. This is necromancy. This is demon playing around with demons. And this is forbidden by the Heavenly Father. You can see that this society is not Christian. It's Masonic. You can see that the God of this society is the devil, period. Jehovah is the devil, and these are the witnesses of the devil. Rutherford believed his spiritual information came exclusively from angels because the Holy Spirit had ceased in 1918. According to him, angels channeled information into his mind from a god living on the star Asclepius on the Pleiades. I'm just going to have to stop right there, folks, and let you think about that for a moment. Let me read it again to you. According to Rutherford, angels channeled information into his mind from a god living on the star Asclepius in the Pleiades. Number one, these angels wouldn't be angels because they don't channel information. Number two, there is no other god but the Father in heaven, Yahweh himself. You see right here that this man is not sound of mind. You see that he's writing about Can We Talk with the Living Dead and Talking with the Dead. He's writing two tracts about it. We see that this man is off. He is on the devil's course. He's on the wide road that leads to destruction. And you see that he's lying to the people saying that these are the angels. Well, really, in reality, he did say that these were the heavenly angels, but he didn't say it here. He just said from angels. So angels could be the lost angels from Los Angeles. Those angels. It could be the devil's angels that fell with Lucifer, right? You understand what I'm saying? But he's implying that these angels are Yahweh's angels and that he's getting the information from them. But how stupid. This information is in his mind is being channeled from a god living on the star Alcyone in the Pleiades. Let's continue. All the Jehovah's Witnesses' work was directed by him and these angels. So, I have to keep stopping. I'm sorry. So the Jehovah's Witnesses' work is directed by him, and he's getting these messages from some God, but there is no other God but the Father, and these angels. So they're running the Jehovah Witnesses' work. Not the Father Yahweh in heaven. Understood now? So you can see clearly what's being done here. You can see clearly that this is not a Christian organization, right? If they are the Jehovah's Witnesses, they are Baal's Witnesses. They are the devil's Witnesses. In the guise of pretending that Jehovah is the Father's name, which it is absolutely not. So have we got that clear? A close associate of Russell wrote a book, Sayola, which was advertised and sold by the Watchtower Society during the 1920s under the name Angels and Women. According to the book, demons could repent and work out their salvation. Are you listening? Ladies and gentlemen, let me just refute that biblically immediately. It is appointed for man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So, which tells you something now that I think of it. See, it is appointed for man once to die, but you've heard of the second death, right? Does that mean that there's a contradiction there? No, there isn't. See, because you're not a man when it comes time to be dying in the second death. Good point, right? But it is appointed for man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So in other words, once you're dead, it's over. There's no such thing as demons working out there salvation and repenting. I'll tell you how I know that's true. The angels that fell, that came down here, not fell, but they came down here from their first estate and they married and copulated with the sons of the daughters of men who are the Adamic women. After they had done this thing, they felt great sorrow. And they got Enoch, they wanted Enoch to be an intercessor and to go up and to apologize to Yahweh, so to speak, and let them repent. You know what Yahweh's retort was? No. Do you understand now how this cannot be true? Okay, I hope you do. So according to the book, demons could repent and work out their salvation. Rutherford wrote in yet another book, Angels, page 6, about fallen angels, there is some hope of their preservation. No, there isn't. Russell began in the 1890s to teach about God living in the star system of the Pleiades and the new creation. This is, it's different books, so he talks about it in several books here, and it's named. The next Watchtower president, Rutherford, continued this, and Fred Franz, the present Watchtower and Society president, also supported this doctrine. See Golden Age, May 16th, 28, 1928, page 540. Charles Taze Russell's beliefs about the Great Pyramid also relate to all of this because he believed the Great Pyramid proved God lived in the star system Pleiades. Thy Kingdom Come, 1891, page 321, 327, and 328. There is a lot of documentation to all these strange Pleiades beliefs in these books. So, Rutherford believed demons could work out their salvation. A primary job of the angels is to bring information from God. Since Rutherford received false prophecies from these angels, of course, it would be scriptural that the angels that channeled messages through him were demons, just as I said, right? These same demons are the ones that the monarch would be channeling through the mind-controlled MK-Ultra slave in each of the altars. You understand? Rutherford, so that was me commenting. Back to the book. Rutherford had predicted in his book, Millions, Now Living Will Never Die, that in 1925 Armageddon would occur and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would come back to Earth 3 days before the Madberg, Germany convention of the International Bible Students on May 1925. The head of the Watchtower Society, Joseph Rutherford, Robert Martin, C.C. Binkley, Paul Balzeret, the heads of the German branch, met at the Hotel Madsberger Hof. Jesse Hemery, vice president of the IBSA, was supposed to translate but failed to make it. A 20-year-old Bible student, William Schnell, was pressed into the service of translator. Now, let me just stop right here. In 1914, they predicted the end of the world. Then, you see here now, they say Armageddon is going to happen in 25. You see, these prophecies never came true. This proves that the priesthood of the Jehovah's Witnesses and their channelers, you know, angel channelers, are false prophets. Therefore, they're illegitimate, and so is their so-called religion. Then it's not a Christian religion at all. Oh, it uses the word Bible and it uses scriptures, but it's nothing to do with Christianity. And the god of this religion is the devil, Lucifer. Period. Don't you find this incredible? Isn't this valuable to know what we know right here? You got these people, these devil's witnesses, coming to your doorstep. Anyway, their conversation, William Schnell was shocked at the conversation he had to translate. Their conversation was about their plans on how to handle repercussions from their prophecy, which they knew beforehand was false. Robert Martin said, I propose we go completely into mass production of books and printed matter and force all brethren who will let themselves be impressed into witnessing with books. Occupy them and they will forget failures, and soon we can use these disappointments like a jilted lover who has been left at the door by his bride-to-be and who finds quickly another lover. So Rutherford has, as a leader, was far less sincerely motivated than Russell. For Rutherford, it was a greedy scam for power. So it gives you the notes on that. Let's continue. History records that Masonic Templars were led by men interested in occult practices and who hoped to acquire personal material wealth. Templar leaders like Johnson Rosa have been called self-seeking charlatans. The Mason Guggemos ripped off a group of German nobles in a costly scam. The men who created these orders saw money in fees charged for admission to various degrees, promotions, and knighthood. At this point, the reader may see some parallels between Rutherford and Masonic Templar leaders, so it is no surprise the rumor mill has claimed Rutherford was a Freemason. The author believes Rutherford was not a Mason, but his writings and knowledge indicate he had investigated the occult. Whenever he needed a new arrow to shoot at Christendom, wait a minute, I thought it was a Christian religion. You see? He's shooting arrows at Christendom, you see? Like Nimrod and his soldiers were shooting arrows at the Tower of Babel up at Yahweh, trying to kill Yahweh. Right? Whenever we need a new arrow to shoot at Christendom, he needed one, such as Christmas having originated from a sun god festival for Mithra, he had no problem finding something. Church steeples were denounced as phallic worship. I see that. Yes, of course. Note that the Masons are the people who kept an interest in sun worship and phallic worship. The Masons actually tie phallic and sun worship together. Both are regenerative forces. Or the progenitor. You know what I mean? This is what they cover their they cover their genitals, right? The generative principle. And this is the regenerative forces. So both are the sun worship and the phallic worship are regenerative forces. The Masons, however, discuss these things in a positive manner. Rutherford hooked on to mystical Christianity, such as the Rosicrucians and Masons have, and using their claims that Christianity came from the occult, used it against Christians. Now, an interesting thing I will point out right here, right now, right? The Jews claim that Christianity was spawned from Judaism, which is the occult. And it is all of these things. It's sun worship, it's paganism, it's Antichrist to the hilt. It's not one God, it's many, many, many gods. These Masons also claim the same thing, that Christian. I remember Manly P. Hall does the same thing. Manly P. Hall would say things in his book like, before Christianity, Lucifer was a good being. You know what I mean? And it's really ridiculous nonsense. So they're claiming the same thing as the Jews claim, that Christianity came from the occult. So remember this radio class, the Ouija board that it was talked about here? The radio class Ouija board, quote-unquote, gadget that Rutherford promoted for 30 years is remarkably akin to the Rosicrucian ideas about the healing power of vibrations and the force of altruism. Because of Rutherford's greed, his interest in the occult, his mysteriousness, his great fixation on the word Jehovah, and his great promotion of the word light, quote-unquote, he even wrote two books called Light. Those who are suspicious of Rutherford having Masonic ties can be excused. However, when one examines a painting, he doesn't just look at the corner of the picture, he looks at the whole picture, right? This chapter's response should honestly and clearly represent all that happened so that erroneous thinking will be safeguarded against. So I just wanted to make a quick comment. She's giving me good vibrations. I'm getting some good sensations. Rosicrucian ideas about the healing power of vibrations, music, the healing power of music, the healing power of frequency, you know, whatever, vibrations. So it continues. Rutherford's anti-Russell and anti-Masonic campaign. Rutherford carried out a step-by-step campaign to discredit Russell. We're out of time. That's where we're going to start next week, folks. So, that's page 192. We made it a little, we should maybe, if we're able, we'll get into the 200s next week. So, you know, it's going to take a few, more shows, but we'll be through it. I used half of this show right off the cuff and talked about something else, so we could have had 45 minutes. We could have been into page 200, but that's the way it goes, ladies and gentlemen. So, I'm really enjoying this series. I'm enjoying learning together. I hope that you are too. And I know one thing for sure. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, study to show thyself approved.